Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another week of Selective Hearing. I'm your host, Julie DeMar, and today I am here with Shamika Richard, and we are going to have a very powerful conversation. Shamika, thank you for being here with me today.
Absolutely, no problem.
Before I get started, I just love to open the show by giving every single guest the floor. So this is your time to share your story with the listeners.
All right. Well, my name is Shamika, and I am a child of God, a daughter of God first. That's always my first title. I am an encourager and an uplifter by nature. That's my gift. Social service, mental health specialist, author, speaker, women's ministry leader. Basically, all of this came to pass just because of rough upbringing, just a lot of trauma in my own life. And I can recall being in 12th grade, I was born in a little town in Louisiana, Opelousas, and they decided to bring other electives to the school, and psychology was one of them. And I was like, dang, my family's so jacked up. Let me see why. So I took that elective, and then that was it. Went to school. And after I graduated, I was like, I'm going to save the world. I don't want kids to go through what I've been through. So I'm going to save the world. So my first job was like working for CPS. I did that for 10 years. I've worked at a domestic violence shelter. I have worked at a traumatic brain injury assisted living facility, mental health, and I have taught college. And I just love people. I love to serve God by serving his people. Through my own traumatic experiences, it's what led me to be certified practitioner in trauma-informed care. It also led me, after COVID, to write a book, Stamina, Journey of Renewal for Your Weary Soul, because, you know, we all were confused. Anxieties was up, depression was up, confusion. And that was just, that's a 4-week devotional that I've written to help women get through that journey. You know, I've learned that our life goes in cycles, right? So I'm going to be on a mountain, but then I'm going to be in a valley, and it's just going to keep, I'm on a roller coaster in life. And so I just had to recently, a few months ago, go back and read Stamina. And it just really refreshed and encouraged me. So
I wanted to actually open the show with your book, because during our pre-show, you talked about you've been doing this for 24 years.
Yes.
24 years. So that is a lot of experience. That is a lot for a person to pour out into the world. So I want to talk about how you poured out even more with this book.
Going through life, and so I lost a job. I got fired from a job, what, maybe 10 years ago. And God was like, write a book. And I was like, well, I'm a single mom. So let me not forget that part of the story. My daughter's 20 now, but I've been a single mom since she was 5. And so I'm like, oh God, I'm a single mom. I can't focus on a book. I have to find a job, you know? And so I started blogging. So like, you know, okay, here you go, God. That's it. I, you know, I'm doing something. Part of what you said, I'm writing. God told me after COVID, now it's time, you know? And so I was like, oh, you're right. And if I tell you, in the midst of working 50 hours a week, waking up at 2 and 3 a.m. before I go to work, just pouring and pouring. And one Saturday, I just woke up at 4 a.m. and I just wrote, I looked up, it was like 10 o'clock and the book was almost finished. I know people are always asking, what's my purpose? What's my gift? And I always say, it's whatever you do naturally. And so that's something that just came naturally. And that's my gift to the world. You know, I'm also working on book 2 right now. That was my gift to the world. And everything happens in the right season and in the right timing. And that was right after COVID. You know, we were in the midst of it all. And by the time the book released, you know, it was perfect timing. So just continuing, for me, it's like a second nature when, you know, thinking about pouring into people for 24 years. Oh, yeah, that's what I do. You know, so it's kind of that thing to me, you know, oh, that's what I do. That's my life. That's what I do.
So the book is a 4-week devotional.
Yes.
About healing.
Yes, yes. My favorite way to describe the book is, it's called Stamina, right? A journey of renewal for your weary soul. And I literally came up with that because I literally take you through a journey. So week one, we talk about how it's okay to cry out, to be angry, to be mad. It's okay, right? To do those things. So that's week one. But then week two, I talk about God's love, His grace, His mercy, all of these things. Week three, then we start tapping into the depression, the anxiety, the types of those things. And then week four, it's hope. So I literally take you from that screaming moment to that moment of hope. And that hope that you're gonna make it. You know what I mean? Like, how do I make it? You're gonna make it. It's not if I'm gonna make it, it's you are. So now we just have to figure out the how.
That just made me think. I'm gonna deviate from the script for a second because I'm actually, and my book is sitting next to me. I'm actually in this class at church right now. So I'm in this class that I gotta take for like, I think I'm in it for like 6 weeks. And we are breaking down faith. And last Sunday, we all, and it was, even though I do this and I talk to people and hear people go through these same, things that I go through, it was just, I guess, a lot different to have people sitting right next to you saying, well, I didn't have faith because I didn't think that I was deserving of God's love. I didn't think that I was worthy of it. How could someone like me, who has done all these things, been through all these things, be deserving of such unconditional and powerful love? When people were asking that question, my hand shot up like I was in the fifth grade, like pick me, pick me. Because of going through this journey, I was just like, for me, I felt that way because I never knew what love was.
That's right.
I did not grow up in an environment where love was truly represented or shown. So I never felt like I deserved love, never felt like I was worthy of love. So when it comes to trying to wrap my head around the concept of God and His love being unconditional, well, how is it unconditional for me when I don't even know what that looks like?
I love that because when I said I'm working on book two, that's exactly what I'm working on. This book is called Something Beautiful, and it's about our identity in Christ. So how do I find that love? How do I find it in me? How do I accept His love? How do I accept His grace and His mercy, His compassion and His kindness? How could He pour that down on me? And sometimes I think that it's interesting. I was thinking about as I'm preparing myself mentally for this morning, I was thinking about, oh God, like I'm going through a tough time right now, like literally right now in this season. And I'm like, how can I encourage people, and I feel I can encourage you. I can encourage all of these listeners. Like, you're gonna make it, you're gonna end in. But then sometimes when it comes to me, I just feel like he's not gonna do it for me. But I'm gonna believe him and I'm gonna encourage you that he's gonna do it for you. And that's just a trick of the enemy. He wants to destroy us. So he's going to throw that fear and that doubt in there, those beliefs. And that's what we have to take those thoughts captive, And that's one of the major ways that we deal with our trauma is first we expose it, right? But then we look at the thoughts and we reverse them. We have to take them captive. We have to change that script. Because our mind is playing a script that it's been playing from whatever. So from whatever your childhood was, you're not loved. You were never loved. Nobody loved you. That script playing in your head over and over and over again. So you have to take that script and you have to flip that script. I tell people there's no way we're ever going to just erase it, right? We're never going to erase it, but I have to flip the script. I have to change the narrative in my head.
Self-talk is something that all the things that I talk about, but that's my jam right there, okay? Like I love talking about the negative narrator in my head so much that she got her own name. She has her start. I gave her a book and all that stuff, but I call her Monica. But I was like, I tell people that in the beginning of all this, I used to yell at her out loud, like because that voice was so loud and it had so much of an influence in everything that I did every day. I had to just cut like lies. I would literally scream lies to the point where at the time my son was walking around just saying lies, lies. were like, oh, girl, not today. Lies. Am I here? Come my son. Lies.
Yes. Yesterday I spent some time with a 10-year-old. Her and her mom fled a domestic violence situation, and the stepdad, was telling her all these things. And so she just had this look and she just, and I was just like, girl, you just have to take those thoughts and just cast them in the pit of hell where they go. And then, like, her face lit up. You know what I mean? Like, I think sometimes people just need that encouragement and they need that truth. They need that, hey, cast them in a pit of hell where they go. And she was like, whoa. I said, yeah, only in therapy you can talk about casting stuff in the pit of hell. I don't want you sending people to hell or nothing. But in therapy, you can say that, And then when you're in your room, you can say, no, no, I am beautiful. I am worthy, So I told her that, I have mirrors. That's what we're going to work on the next week. You're going to tell yourself that. And we have to do that self-talk because if you don't, who's going to do it? Who's going to lift you up? And because there's times that we go through these moments alone because we're embarrassed. I don't want to tell you. I don't want to tell my husband that I'm feeling down and out. I don't want him to think that I'm some little insecure, whiny baby. You know what I mean? And I'm talking about me because this is me. This is how I feel. And he'd be like, "You okay? I'm good." And I don't want him to feel like I'm some little whiny baby or whatever. But we have to encourage ourselves, and it's okay. People are always talking about, oh, well, talking to yourself, that makes you crazy or whatever. No. Not responding to yourself and holding full-blown conversations. We might have to have a conversation. But positive self-talk is a must. It's a must in our lives. It is an absolute must in our lives. We have to, talk ourselves up.
I do big affirmations and declarations every single day. I want to get into something that, because I love talking about the journey too, because I always like to put out there to people like, this may be where we are today, but it wasn't always this way. And I love how during our pre-show, you were talking about, hey, I'm gonna put this cape on, I'm going to help. And during that process, you were like, I have a chip on my shoulder too. So let's talk about, that pivotal moment in your healing.
I've been childhood emotional, abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, and even like not healing from that, that led me to some very, very dangerous relationships as an adult with some domestic violence, some emotional abuse. I was there to help, right? I put on the cape, I went to help. And one day, a supervisor called me in and she was like, "You are a great, excellent caseworker. You love the kids. You're going to go, your passion is great. But everybody's not your enemy, So for me, that unresolved healing, all of that junk that was in me, it was coming out to other people. So, when they say, hurt people, and it's not an intentional thing. That's one thing I want people to know. Most of the times it's not intentional. It's because they are hurting. That moment, I was like, oh my God, I don't want to lose my job, and I fell to my knees and like, when I got home, okay, God, what am I doing wrong? As a professional myself, I went to a professional. You cannot heal what you don't reveal. So I went and I was in therapy. I was on anxiety medication for 9 months. I had to go through that process of revealing why am I so angry? The world don't owe me anything. And I had the chip on my shoulder, like, I bet, say something to me. The sweetest person loved to help, but I did. Why are you looking at me like that? We both in the grocery store. Why are you looking at me? What, boo? What can I, that type of attitude. And that attitude I'm talking about because we see it in people all the time. That's those people that have not dealt with that deep hurt and that deep pain. So I had to go on my own personal healing journey. So I went on that journey with therapy and God, with a psychologist and God. And am I completely healed? No, it's something I still pray to God about. God, I want to be made whole, because I said I can't erase what happened. I'm not going to erase those feelings, but I have to know when to push them aside. Like you said, I have to know when to say lies. I have to know when to say stop, right? So I had to go on this personal healing, this personal journey. Even the issue that I'm dealing with right now, I still say, okay, God, I have to go through this because I have to make it through so I can tell the next woman that she can make it through. So God puts us in these positions we don't understand. And I say, oh God, we got a lot of conversations to have whenever I make it up there, because I think about it and I'm like, I've been to hell and back about a few times, but in the midst of it all, it's worth it. Because when I watch other people heal and watch other people grow, and to me, it's worth it. 2 years ago, I got called into my boss's office and I was like, I was upset and I was like, ugh, why do I even do this? Kid you not. I picked up my phone. And a kid that I helped through CPS years and years ago found me on Facebook, sent me a message in Messenger, and was like, hey, I hope you remember me. And I remembered her because the way her name was spelled. And she was like, oh, you would be so proud. Me and my brother are doing so good. Thank you so much for making sure that we were in a safe home with my grandmother. And that moment just turned it around for me. So it's worth it, what we go through if we look at it with the lens of this is going to help somebody else. This could help my children, my grandchildren. This can help others, what we're going through. So it was totally worth that. First of all, I feel better, right? I'm healed. So I feel better. I'm healed, but I'm not made whole, but I feel better. I'm still on that journey of being made whole. God restored me. He restored my joy. I was an angry person. I want to save the world, but I was angry because of everything that happened to me. Everything. I never felt loved. Nobody cared about me, but I'm going to make sure that somebody care about them. But I was doing it in an angrily fashion until I had to step back and realize that I needed my own healing.
I can relate to that so much. If you knew me back in the day, tiny, and I would cuss you out. I would put my hands on you. Like, I was ready, set, go. And it was everybody's fault. You did this to me, so I can justify what's coming for you. Because had you not messed with me, then you wouldn't have to worry about me coming for you. And that was my whole attitude, that whole read culture. Oh, girl, I read her rights. That is not kind. That is not nice at all. Like, I read you your rights. I put my hands on you. I will. My thing, I used to say, I will talk about your mama. Like, to the point where I even had it on shirts.
Oh, wow.
Like, it was, yeah. And I thought it was okay. It took somebody letting me know, girl, that is not okay at all. And
That's not cute.
you think that's cute? You think that's acceptable? It's absolutely not. You're gonna talk about the right mama. You only 100 pounds. Like it you like it's so for real though. Like, but when you're angry, and I say this like to people too, like when I talk to younger girls and stuff like that, like especially family members that I know went through similar things and they mad, Like, and I'd be like, I used to be just like you. I used to have that exact same mentality. And I would always say, like, that whole thing is going to get you beat up, get you in jail, or get you killed. Because you in the same ring with people just like you. Because people who aren't like you ain't dealing with that.
That's right.
So you're going to go to jail, you're going to get hurt, or worse. That's the only outcome. That's it.
You know what I'm thinking about while you're talking about that? It goes back to saying that when you said that, we feel justified, we're blaming. That brings me back to the saying that forgiveness is for you and not for them. That's what it's about, because that's the first step to healing, right? Well, the first step is admitting, revealing it. The second step is to, start working on that forgiveness. So once I forgive, then I'm free, because like we both experience, we're held captive by anger and bitterness. You know what I mean? These other people have gone on about their lives, or they're still, living their life or whatever. But we're held captive by anger and bitterness because we haven't forgiven them. And I've even had to people just tussle with me. Well, why should I or whatever? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be restored? That's why. Because it frees up some of that energy that you have inside. It frees that up. That's what forgiveness does. It's not for them. I may never ever see them again. It's for you. It's so that you can be restored. so that you can free up that space. You get your joy back, your peace back. You know, it, when you're talking about being angry and being that chip on the shoulder, it's like you're always on defense. How, what kind of peace and joy do you have in life when you're always on the defense? When you're ready to fight, when you're ready to square up, you know, when you're always ready. So, what type of peace and comfort do you have in your life? You know, whenever you always on edge, ready to square up with everybody. So yeah, we have to look at that and okay, forgiveness is not, and I make people repeat it over until you believe it. We'll stay here. We'll sit here until you believe it. Forgiveness is for me and not for them. So I tell you out there, if you're in this position, that's where you need to start. Forgiveness is for me and not for them.
And I learned, and it's crazy because then I heard somebody say it in the exact same words in a, you know, like one of those real videos that like forgiveness doesn't mean reconciliation. And that's big. Like I can forgive you and give you right on to God. I can pray for you. I hope you turn it around before you leave this world, but I don't have
That's
to
right.
deal with you no more. And I don't like, and there's peace in that too. And going through the process of, you know, going no contact with people, that's a whole nother thing. You can grieve the living, which is like a whole episode. But once you do that and you move on, baby, when I tell you, I just be throwing my hands up all the time, like, man, I'd be so proud. Like,
Yes. One of those moments. You know, and that's the other thing. And that's what I talk to people about too. You can forgive. Forgiveness doesn't mean that we have to be best friends and I have to call you on the phone and we have to hang out and, you know, we have to go get lattes or whatever. No. Forgiveness, like you said, I can forgive you and move on because that forgiveness is for me. That's for my peace of mind. That's for my restoration. And like you said, I love what you said about I'm going to give you to God and I pray that you turn your situation around. I pray that you fall on your knees and ask for forgiveness and you forgive whoever hurt you, you know, because that brings us what? To a cycle. That's what it is. It's a cycle.
And I want to talk about cycles. We're going to talk about generational trauma cycles. I have a question in your package for you, but I kind of want to break it into two parts only because Wednesdays I put out my blogs and I was writing this blog and I was writing about generational trauma, but I was like, I had like this revelation of is generational trauma in the trauma cycles that we repeat, are they truly a result of curses or as our ego and our unwillingness to change? And so I asked, I basically wrote a blog, but it was a long question where I was asking, are your cycles continuing to be repeated in your family because you truly are not willing to change? And so I want to, it's two parts to this. I want to talk about that and then we'll move into that being a significant focus in your work.
Yes, and I love that because that's actually why I use the word generational trauma instead of generational curses, because that's exactly what you said. It is. So I can go one of two ways, okay? I can't choose what family I'm born into. I can't choose what happens to me, you know, probably up until the age of 16, 17, where I live, all these things, right? But once I become an adult, I have a choice to make. Am I going to go down the same path? Or am I going to do something different? So it is because we choose to do well. You ever hear people say, grandma and them did it? Well, that's just how I am. God, you know, that's one of the things that's a pet peeve for me, especially, you know, Christian. Oh, God made me. He know who I am. Really, you know, he did, but he also gave us the Bible and church and all these things so that we can change. So I really honestly think that it's a cycle and a pattern, it's a learned behavior that you are refusing or unwilling to change. That's a learned behavior. So I can remember having conversations with my mother about me, my sister, my brother, about, you know, her and, you know, the way she response to us, and then her telling us about her trauma. And so that's what it is. It's just learned behavior. You know, I remember having a conversation with a cousin of mine, and we were talking, and she was yelling at her kids. And I was like, stop yelling. You could talk to them. And she said, oh, you know, mama used to yell, grandma used to yell. And so I said, yeah, but what, how are we going to change that? How are we going to be different in that way? And she's like, oh, you're right. And so she started parenting different because it's, are you willing to make the change? Or are you just going to sit there and just say, that's how grandma did it? That's what mama did. And this is what it's going to be. So I think that and that's why I use the word generational trauma versus generational curse. Because first of all, I don't want to put no curse on nobody, right? I don't want to even claim that on anyone. But second of all, because it's not a curse, it's something that we are choosing to continue. We have to make that decision of we're going to do the turnaround. We're going to do the opposite. We have to really come to that conclusion and make that decision that we're going to do that turnaround, you know?
That was like a big, because I was getting ready to go off into when I was talking about it. But then I was like, wait a minute. Because like I know, even though same thing, I'm not perfect. I'm nowhere near the completion of this journey, but I know even from the choices that I've made so far, and my kids are 6 and almost 4, that even when I step back and I really, really look at them, I've already broken some things up off of them
That's right.
because they're not, they don't even have, at the age that I was at 3 and 6, my life was completely different. I had already been introduced to too much. So I'm like, my kids, they want to play math games and they want me to still play with action figures with them and they want to run around and play hide and seek and they feel safe
Yes.
and they know, like they know they can come talk to me. My kids tell me everything. They know so much of what we're doing in the home that if they encounter something outside of the home that makes them feel uncomfortable, they're gonna come ask me about it. Like, hey, mom, so and so said this word. Like, my 3-year-old, no lie, I got in the car one day and was like, hey, mom, what does what the F mean? And I was like, oh, what? Where'd you hear that? He said, a big kid said it on the playground. And I'm like, okay, we got to talk about some stuff. Like, but he said it clear as day too. Oh my goodness, that itty bitty voice. And I was like, hey, okay, we got some stuff to talk about, but thanks for talking to telling me, but I just know I never even had a voice ever. So looking at them and going, wow, that's what the work looks like. And I,
Yes.
what is it going to look like for them? Because they're starting at the, I always refer to things as a race too. Like, okay, there's a starting line when you're at a track meet. And everybody's on the line waiting for the gun to go off. But before it goes off, they said, hey, Julie, take 4 steps back. And then they tell everybody, ready, set. Oh, wait, Julie, take another 4 steps back.
Oh, wow.
And then they say, hold on, Julie, wait, we getting ready to start the race, but take 4 more steps back. And then they say, everybody, ready, set. And the gun went off. That's how my race started. So I'm
And I
like,
totally agree with that.
how is it going to look when I place my kids on the starting line? And then the race starts.
Yes. Yeah. Love that. Love that. Love that. You know, it brought me to thinking about the work I do right now and working with grandparents that are raising their grandchildren. Looking at how mental health is really, you know, so we're looking at children, you're raising your grandchildren because CPS got involved. So there was some type of they're going through trauma because of some type of abuse, neglect, whatever. Oh, well, I take care of them. That she need to listen and she need to stop being bad at school and she need to do XYZ. And so I have to back them up and teach them how to let their kid, these grandkids, have a voice. When you say have a voice, it reminded me of that. And just even with parents in general, because we say, I always say, you can ask for a timeout. You know, to take some, oh no, we're gonna say, I said, wait a minute. You know, they're quick to jump to, no, we're gonna talk about, wait a minute. But let them take time to gain their composure, you know, to express, be to prepare. And then I'm not saying you're not gonna talk about it, but they need to have a voice. You know, they need to be able to tell you how they're feeling. I love that you said that. My daughter is 20 now. So when she started middle school, she had Tuesdays was her favorite night because that was the night that she could talk about anything that she felt like wasn't going right in the house or anything. She talked, it was let it loose Tuesday. But she was able to say, well, I just really wish you wouldn't yell at me so much. You could talk to me without yelling at me. But guess what? Mama did it, grandma did it. So that was just what I did. So that was an eye opener for me. Now she's 20 and we still have the best relationship. You know, she tells me everything that's going on. Sometimes things I really don't wish I knew about these 20-year-olds. But But we have the best relationship. So it makes me think, just like you said, and this is a child that I adopted out of foster care when she was one, a child born addicted to crack cocaine, in withdrawals. And so it just makes me think about, what is she going to do? Now she wants to help other people because, I was given away. Now I want to help other people to let them know that you can still feel loved and everything. So she's in college right now. She's going to be a psychologist. That's what it looks like, Julie. That's what it looks like. Turning us, flipping the script, flipping the narrative. And now look at her path, right? Flipping the narrative. Now watch the path that your kids are going to go on. They're not going to be out there ready to square up and ready to fight with everybody, right? Their path is going to be different because we flipped the script. We were willing to make that change. We refuse to continue on with the generational trauma. At some point, you have to make that choice. And that's why I don't use the word generational curses, because we have a choice in this. Once we become an adult, we have a choice in it.
Yes, we might have to circle back on that one. That's a whole. You guys, let us know in the comments you want a round two because we could talk about that. Oh my
Yes.
goodness. That's a whole hour in itself.
Absolutely.
I know that I asked you during before the pre-show, and I'm going to ask you again at the end of the show, but I put this in here because you defined once already selective hearing as blocking out the world's noise to focus on healing. But I want to ask you, how can women and girls practice this in their daily life, especially with all of the pressure that they're under this day and age?
Be true to yourself. First, I have to identify who I am. And then that's where we're talking about finding ourselves in God's love, right? And be true to yourself. Julie, you're beautiful, but I don't want to look like you. Your hair is beautiful, but my hair doesn't have to look like yours for me to be beautiful too, right? So if we are true to ourselves, living out taking off the mask, and living off our true versions of who we are. I said that people ask about their purpose, right? How do I find my purpose? How do I know where to go in life? It's natural. That thing that you just do naturally, that's what selective hearing is. That's how I block out the world's noise. Like, hey, this is Shamika. Shamika is unique. There's one of me, there's one of you, there's one of you, all of you out there. But we have to embrace that. There's the skinny people, there's the big lip people, there's the full figure, the perfect body people, there's the celebrities, there's the this, there's the that. But you have to really get in tune with who you are. And we do that by daily reflection. We journal and we spend time on daily reflection. We do that with positive affirmations. We do that with spending time around people that we love. I love what you said earlier when you said that when you talk to some people and you tell them it's the group that you're hanging around. So I'm not going to hang around people that are bringing me down. I'm going to hang around people that see my strengths and uplift me. That's how I block out the world, because then I can trust, I can have a safe space to go to whenever I'm not feeling like I'm this and I'm that, right? So we block out the noise and we start our journey to healing by first identifying I need to, I have to reveal. I can't heal what's not revealed. Sometimes we want to keep it inside. What happens in this house stays in this house. Our culture is so great for that. Then it goes back to me saying about the generational trauma, because if I don't go to therapy or if I don't talk to someone or I don't start trying to heal that, then it's just going to repeat. It's going to repeat. It's going to repeat. So, selective hearing, blocking out the noise of the world to start your journey of healing, that starts within you. It's the inner me. I have to block out the outside noise, but I also have to start that work inside of me. And once I start that process, then you start to just see. I can remember starting my journey of healing, how like my own nature is a thing for me. I love going on walks. I love going on hikes. I love going to the water. I just love, because you start to appreciate the beauty of the little things. Whenever that healing, I can just remember healing and just the nature, just the little things meant everything to me. That's that journey, by blocking it out. I have to block it out, the world's noise. And identify me. And that's that second book that's coming. That's what we're working on. I'm working on how do I identify myself? How do I find that something beautiful? Okay. Because, like I said, you're beautiful. We're all beautiful. We're all unique in our own way. But that's how you block it out, by starting with yourself. This is a bold and courageous move. That's a bold and courageous move to tell a world, to push back against that. That's bold. That's bold.
I said once that having this platform has also been like the therapy, the coaching, like all the stuff, but having this platform has been another form of therapy for me because every week I get to work out things with other people who get it. And then we get to put that beautiful conversation out into the world and someone else, even if it's one person that
That's
week,
right.
that can start to affect change in their life. And then what they go do with it could do that for one other person. And that's how we really start that ripple effect and really start affecting the outcome that we want. And I really true feel that.
Yeah, it reminds me of that saying, each one touch one, right? So because we are going to touch, even if it is one person, and then they're going to touch one person, and then that person's going to touch, you know what I mean? Because there's no way for us to reach the billions of people, right? So each one touch one. And I think that brings me back to remembrance when I was writing the book. Those of you who are writing books and everything, you know, now it's a whole lot of self-publishing, because now if you don't have a gazillion followers or whatever, whatever, you're not getting picked up by a major publisher, but that's okay. So, and I was like, okay, God, so yeah, who's going to read this? And he said, even if it's one. And if I tell you how I took that to heart and how many like copies I've given away, you know what I mean? And but then guess what happened? That person that read that and they got restored from that, they ended up buying a copy for someone. Right. And then that person's like, oh my gosh. And so it's been passed down. They're buying copies. They're buying copies. They're buying copies. And I met someone about a month ago, and they were like, oh, you wrote that book. My friend gave me a copy of the book. You wrote that book. I was like, oh, did that book help you? Yeah. And then I bought a copy for my friend, you know. So that's what it's about, you know, just sharing our stories, that the sharing our stories, because that's why I said, like, the situation, I'm going through a situation right now, but I keep pushing through and telling myself, I have to get through this so I can let this Lex lady know that she can get through it too. I had to get through the being a single parent. I had to get through me not eating, but making sure my daughter eat. And she never knew this until like recently when we start having conversations, you know. I had to get through that so I can tell this other single mom that you're going to make it, that you can get through this. So we have to get through those situations, and it don't feel good when we're in it, right? And we don't want to see that when we're in it. But hindsight, then you're like, oh wow, I can share my story. My story can change this person's life. My story can change that person's life.
Yeah, 100%. There's so much there. Okay, so we've been talking about faith since we opened the episode, but I do still want to ask you about the role that your faith has played in your journey. And I want you to share also, I know we touched it, but I kind of want some details here about how your faith is integrated into your trauma-informed care.
So, you know, I wanted to move out my house, out of my mom's home quickly, right? So I did that. And in that moment, I said, goodbye, mama, goodbye, God, you know, because I grew up in the church. And, you know, and I could remember one day talking about listening to the pastor talk about, oh, you know, on the other side, and God has these mansions in heaven and all of these things and everything, no more crying, all of these things, right? And I'm like, I don't want that. And I want it now. You know what I mean? I'm 16 and I've just been through so much hell. You know, when I left, I was 19. Goodbye, mama. Goodbye, God. I didn't talk to my mom for a few years. I would drive right by her house, you know. I was out there, like you said, I was going to the clubs. I was having a good old time. I was living my best life. You know, I was still with the S on my chest, saving all of the kids and CPS. I was doing all these things. One day I drove by a church and my heart just started feeling heavy. That's why we always talk about training them up, a child upright, and they'll know even when they depart, they'll know they'll come back, right? And so I came back. Right. I just spent time just really asking God for forgiveness. And that's when I went through that process of being restored. So with the trauma informed, that healing, we can't heal ourselves, right? We can't, the therapy we can do, the therapy can only do so much, right? It's God that has to do the healing. It's God that has to do the, I say the weed eating. You know, think about when somebody's cutting the lawn, right? They're cutting their grass, and then you go, you clip up the edges, and you do all of that. It's God that does all of that because we're made in His image, right? We're the clay, He's the potter. And so if I don't have faith, I'm only going to make it so far. Yes, I can go to therapy. Yes, I can journal, but I'm only going to make it so far with my healing process. And so intertwining the faith with the trauma-informed care, it's more about standing on His promises, standing on the promises, standing on the fact that I will never leave you or forsake you, because there are times we need that. You know, like I said, life is a roller coaster. You may be, the listeners may be on a mountain right now. Some of them are in a valley, but those that are in a valley, your mountain is coming soon. And those who are in a mountain, your valley's coming soon. So, what do I do when I'm in the valley? It's all good when I'm on a mountaintop, but who do I turn to when I'm in the valley? Who do I run to? You know, where do I go? Where do I find that peace? My spouse can only do so much. Oh, it's going to be okay, baby. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. He can only say so much of that. But where does that true peace come from? Where does that true hope come from? I always say, I can remember training someone in this field, and they were like, "Well, how do you do it? Like, I just want to be like you as the biggest." I said, "This is the only thing I want you to remember. Never leave someone's presence without leaving them with hope." That's what I always want to do. And that's how we intertwine that faith, leaving them with hope. I never, ever want to leave someone's presence without leaving them hope. Even the cashier, whatever. That's what it's about. Because that's what the faith gives me. It gives me strength and it gives me hope. Because life's going to keep on lifing. Do, 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 do. Death, somebody's going to die that I know. You know, somebody going to get sick. Something's going to happen. And life just keeps happening and happening and happening. How do I stay afloat? It's faith. It's hope. That's how I stay afloat. So that's what I use, making sure to keep them in hope. That's how we use that. And thinking, talking about our trauma is the hope. Hope keeps us alive. Hope keeps us going. You know, as a crisis expert, you know, anytime somebody starts to feel hopeless, that's when we're talking about, okay, we need a hospitalized. You know what I mean? So, because it's the hope that keeps us going. It's the hope that keeps us going.
Shamika, we had a conversation today, didn't we?
Oh, girl, yes.
We
Yes, yes.
did. We did. We came in hot. Oh my goodness. Okay, everybody. So before me and Shamika go, I'm going to ask her one more time so you guys can just take this in. So turn those speakers up wherever you are at right now, because I want you to hear Shamika tell you one more time, what does selective hearing mean to you?
Selective hearing to me means blocking out the world's noise so that you can start your journey of healing. You can start that journey of restoration. You can start that journey to peace, that journey to get your joy back, and most of all, your hope. That's what I equate healing to hope. That's exactly what it is. We're just looking for some type of hope. If I have hope, I can make it to the next day. And who knows what I'm going to conquer the next day. And then if I continue, my hope just keeps getting me from day to day to day to day to day. And I can just continue to block out the noise. I can continue to just climb higher and higher, but I can continue to help others too. So let's not forget that. Let's not forget that what we are not negating what you've been through, but what you've been through, you got through it. And if you haven't, you can and you will get through it. But then you also will be able to help someone else get through it as well.
And that's a whole word, everyone. So,
Okay.
a whole word. Listen, I can't wait. I'm gonna run this conversation back when I go to church on Sunday. I'll be right in class, like, y'all, guess what I was talking about? Because, yeah, it came right on out. So, Shamika, a couple things. Share with everyone where they can get your book and how they can connect with you. And everyone, listen, I give it to you three ways every single week, so there's no excuse. You love hearing me say this. There is absolutely no excuse for you not to take advantage of these resources, for you not to connect with Shamika and just ask her any questions if you have any. So let them know how they can reach you and where they can buy your book.
The book is on Amazon. It's on BarnesandNobles.com, Amazon.com, and WespoPress.com. If you want an autographed copy with a special bookmarker, you can reach out to me, and then it'll just be an extra $5, and I can send it out, autograph it, and send it out to you. I am Shamika Richard, author, on Facebook. I am Shamika Richard on Instagram, and I am at Women of Endurance 2023 on TikTok. Y'all have to hear my Motivational Mondays on TikTok. Womenofendurance.com for those of you that are really seeking that trauma-informed care through faith. Womenofendurance.com. We have a book study that we do on Sundays. Everyone's welcome. It's open to everyone for the therapy part, truehopeservices.com. So you can, but you can reach either one, and I will guide you to whatever your needs are. So please reach out.
Hey everybody, you heard that. So like I said, I don't want to hear any excuses. And get in the comments and let us know you want us to run back part two, because I think we can have an amazing conversation about breaking generational trauma cycles and understanding that generational trauma is not a curse, it is a choice. So
Yes.
I think that's something that we're gonna have to get on the books for 2025 just to keep the people going.
I love that. Love that. Love that. And I'm here for it. I'm here for
All
it.
right. And everybody, I will be back on Wednesday with a brand new solo episode. So until next time, this is Selective Hearing.